Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could be here with us today. So before we dive into today's episode, just hit that subscribe or follow button really quick and give us a like. And that way we can continue to bring you that great content that we always do. Well, without further ado, today we are bringing a special guest onto the show. And it's really going to be a little bit different than what we've heard in a while. We've got somebody who likes music. All right. And he's going to bring a different flair to our show today. And I want to introduce him here in just a minute. But if you love to hear about music and songs and somebody who likes to sing and write about God and pray through music and doing all those types of things and really has that type of focus, then today is definitely the show you want to be listening to. He is a lyricist, a host and producer of Refuge Freedom Stories podcast, co-host of the Exchanged Life podcast, and author of From Glory to Glory Substack. So help me today welcome Johnny Tavener. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, TS. It's a real blessing to be here with you, and it's always a blessing to talk about what God is doing in people's lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, without further ado, Johnny, what I would like you to do for our listeners is just dive into your journey and really share your story so we all have a good understanding of just who you are and what you're all about and how God's working in your life.
Yeah, so basically, you know, I'm not unlike a lot of people in the world. Grew up in a broken home, and that created a lot of bitterness and tension. You know, I ended up with my sibling living with my mom, who was quite hurt and angry and bitter and all that kind of stuff. And that kind of clouds your view of the world and your other parent and so on. And so when I was 19, I started going to a church. I thought it was a Baptist church, but it was actually a Brethren church, but I didn't know. It was the first time in church, right? So so anyway, I was going there, and this girl had invited me to go. And one day, the man who was at the front was preaching, and I just knew in my heart I had to go talk to him. And so afterwards, I did, gave my life to the Lord, and I had a huge Cheshire grin smile on my face for hours. You just couldn't wipe that smile off. I just felt that burden lift off me, that, you know, everything. And so the Bible tells us, you know, we need to share our faith and so on. So I went home and I told my mom, and of course she wasn't happy because she was involved in the occult and like tarot card reading, astrology and all that kind of stuff. So of course the spiritual warfare was right from the very start. And then the Bible tells us too that, you know, the seed falls on good ground, sometimes on stony ground, you know, different kinds of ground that it falls on. And in my case, because my relationship with that particular girl ended, it was hard for me to continue to go to that same church and see her there with another boyfriend, so on and so on, right? I mean, that's what, you know, young people are like. And so I drifted away from the church, went back hanging out with my old friends, and the enemy's right there to offer you all kinds of things in the world when he sees that you're struggling in your faith, right? He's very keen to give you opportunities to live an ungodly life. So a few years go by, one of my best friends got killed on his motorcycle, tragic story, all those things. But during that period of time, God was already starting to take the scales off my eyes. I can remember standing in a bar one night looking around going, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. It was just so clear to me and in my heart, my spirit, that it just wasn't the right fit for me. And I've been thinking about it lately. In the last little while, I can remember a couple of specific incidents where I looked in the mirror at that particular point in my life, and I just looked like death. You know, all I could see was like death on my face. Mm. And it was all those different things of God kind of just showing me things, pulling the scales away a little bit at a time, just to kind of reveal things to draw me closer to Him. So as time went on, I met another girl who is now my wife, and she had just become a Christian. And as we got talking and got to know each other better, that spirit of life in her, that joy, that Jesus in her, I immediately recognized, hey, this is where I need to be. And of course, we started going back to church and gave my life back to the Lord. And it's been an up and down journey since then. If anybody ever tells you that the Christian life is easy, they're lying. There are always valleys and mountains to cross over and deserts to walk through and all that kind of stuff. So of course, just like anybody else, we've had those shares of things. But I remember one time when I was at work, and I worked in an industry where you couldn't wear your own civilian clothes in the area you're working. You had to wear work clothes. And at the end of the day, you would shower and get changed again. And I remember standing in the shower one day and I said, Lord, what can I tell these people? Because people were coming up to me and saying, Johnny, what really happened to you? Like, you don't party with us anymore. You don't go out doing this, 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 or this. And I was praying about that. And I said, Lord, what can I tell them? I said, I can't tell them they're going to be healthy, because at that time I had just been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which I still have. I couldn't tell them they're going to be wealthy because I had a mortgage, I had debts, all that kind of stuff. I said, I couldn't tell them they're going to be happy, as the world says, healthy, wealthy, and all those kind of things. But as clear as your voice is at the beginning of this show, I heard God say to me, I put love in your heart and you can forgive your father. And any bitterness that I had in my heart left immediately. And although I didn't have a relationship with my dad throughout the years until near the very end of his life, I never had that bitterness. It was just like, okay, he's who he is, that kind of thing. And he's my dad, you know, biologically, but I never had that relationship with him. And so that has always been a bit of a struggle for me to understand God as my father, because I didn't have a real father to look to. Now, there are good examples of fathers and there are bad examples of fathers in this world, but yet they're still fathers, right? So, but the other day I was just reading in, where is it here? So let me grab my Bible. I was just reading in Hebrews, and it says here in chapter 5, it says, no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He has to be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. This is why Christ did not exalt himself to become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father.
Amen.
When I read that, it was just such a blessing to me. It was almost like that rhema word to me that God said, I am your father. And so he's been working for years with me about that relationship.
Amen. Amen. You know, I always find it fascinating, people's stories and how their stories eventually link them to God, and how God uses parts of their brokenness to bring them to him. And, you know, I tell people when I talk to them about the relationship, I said, we have to come in brokenness and humility before the Lord. It's not just coming before the Lord, but how you come matters. It truly does. Because if we come thinking that we're entitled to something, or that we're coming in a way of any type of pridefulness or arrogance, that's not how you can come before the Lord. That doesn't work. He wants brokenness and he wants humility. And because ultimately our sin separates us from God. It just does. And so that brokenness and humility is that we are coming with an open heart, ready to change before the Lord and let the Lord change us as he chooses to. And so
absolutely. And with that comes surrender. We have to surrender everything. We have to surrender. We all have these, you know, the gifts and callings that God gives us, and God assigns those to us before he knows us in our mother's womb.
Amen.
That's clearly written in the Bible. And yet we may not clearly understand, like, trying to figure out what your calling is. That's taken me a long time to do, and I still don't know if I'm there yet. But I know that it only comes when you surrender. And you have to surrender every idea you have. You have to surrender every plan you have, all the efforts you have. God might give you an ability to be an amazing writer, or to be an amazing speaker or a teacher or something like that. But that may not be the calling that God's given to you. So we really need to lay that all down before God and allow him to, because he is a God of death and resurrection, right? The world, you can look in the world and you can read about histories of different civilizations, and they're always written in the history books, like the rise and fall of.
Yeah.
But in Christianity, it's just the opposite. It's the fall and rise of. It's the death and resurrection. And that's what we have to do. That's how we have to live our life. As you said, we have to continually lay those things down and come in that brokenness, humility that we all have to some level and degree. Some people have incredible lives up until the point that they meet Christ, but yet the world can offer you everything and you could be really successful, but without Christ, it's meaningless and ultimately eternity won't be with him. Other people come through horrific lives and God still reaches into that deep, dark pit to pull them out and give them that new life. And both of those stories have their own powerful testimony, right? Because the world is empty or the darkness is incredible. But either way, they still both need Christ as their Savior.
Amen. Amen. So you've kind of alluded to it, and so have I. So I guess a good question is, you know, what does it mean to know God?
Well, this is eternal life, to know God and to be known by him. I believe it's John 17:3 says that. And knowing God is something that I have a real passion for, because I know that if I don't know him and I'm not known by him, do I really have eternal life in my heart? And so every day, you know, I'm asking God, okay, Lord, let me walk with you today. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear that small, still voice. Some promptings for people are different in a lot of different ways. Some have that really clear voice. Others have like that gentle prompting in their heart. And just trying to build that relationship with him every day in pure honesty, just sitting down with him, diligently setting time apart to spend time with him at the beginning. In my case, it's the beginning of the day. Other people would be at the end of the day. But whatever time that may be, we have to really be diligent about that. And with sincerity and, like you said, brokenness and surrender and humility, we have to just come to God and say, look, God, I'm having a tough day, or I had a tough day yesterday, or whatever it might be, or God, like, help me understand your word, because if we don't ask for that understanding, then we're just reading it into our head. We're not reading it into our heart. And there's a huge difference between that. So knowing God is just about developing that relationship with him on a precept by precept basis. And he'll take us from one thing to the next. And he'll teach us about obedience, and he'll teach us how to hear his voice, and he'll teach us how to understand his ways, although they're hugely vast above us. We don't understand them all, but he can certainly give us glimpses of it. And so as we seek him, he says, if we seek him and search for him with all our heart, we're going to find him. And so we have to be diligent about it. You know, it's been said that discipline is the price you pay for freedom.
Amen.
And we have to be disciplined to seek God, not out of a works basis, but out of a love basis, right? Out of a genuine love to know God. And I honestly believe that he won't turn anybody away that reaches out to him with that in their heart for the right reasons, right? Just to get to know him.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, we talked a little bit about at the beginning of the podcast when I introduced you to, we talked about the music part for you. And obviously there's some passion about the music and how you portray that for God. And so maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So music to me is, there's a lot that's being called worship today that I don't think really is.
Sure.
There's a fine line between worship and entertainment. And, you know, the devil will substitute entertainment for worship all day long if he can. Excuse me, we have to be careful of that. And we're mindful, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan was the choir leader, right? So he knows what motivates people. He knows what he can use to keep people from God. But our job as people that have a heart for music or write or play music or lead worship is to lead people to God and to create an environment that they can express themselves honestly, as we've talked about, in God's presence, and allow him to work in their hearts. And I'm not a real musician. I do write a lot of lyrics and songs like that. I've led worship and done some outdoor things and stuff like that, but I'm not a quote unquote musician. But I will tell you a story about one time. I used to go to a church that had three different types of congregations. We had a Russian Slavic type congregation, mm-hmm. a Spanish congregation, and then the rest of us, you know, English speaking congregation. And in our church, we had two translation booths in the back. So if you were Russian, you put on one set of headphones. If you're Spanish, you put on the other set of headphones, and the translators would translate the message. And of course, we all took turns leading worship. And as part of the English speaking worship team, it wasn't my week to lead worship. It was the Russians, and they're very stoic sometimes in the way they, you know, very traditional. And the Spanish, they're like all over the place, jumping and hyper and all that kind of stuff. Then we were just kind of contemporary Christian music, if you want to call it that. And so the pastor preached his message. And when he was done, my heart just started to pound because I had this song in my head and I knew I had to sing it. And I was wrestling with God about this because I said, you know what? It's not my week to be on the worship team. It's not our turn. And he started pacing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth across the platform. And the more he did, the more my heart started to beat. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, how is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? What am I feeling? And he stopped and he said, I think we need to sing a song. And I put up my hand and said, can I sing a song? And he goes, sure. And so I looked over to Alex, the Russian guy. I said, can I use your guitar? He goes, oh, yeah, no problem. So I walked up there and I played this song. I didn't feel a thing. I felt like a piece of wood and nothing at all, nothing at all. Couldn't understand it. Finished the song, sat down and thought, that's interesting. And a few weeks later, one of the ladies in our church, one of our friends, came up to me and she said, you know, do you remember a few weeks ago you sang that song and gave me the title of the song? And I said, yeah. And she said, you know, she said, I was going through a really hard time and I was sitting in the pew and I said to God, if you really love me, you'll get John to sing that song. And her prayer went up and down, hit me right on the head and in the heart. And I knew nothing about it. And that to me is what worship is. That to me is what Christian music should be about, is that we are allowing God to write songs through us. Fred Hammond said he believes there's a vault of songs that God has that he just wants to deliver to the world through different musicians.
Amen.
And so I believe our purpose, whether we write songs or we play songs or whatever it is, lead worship, is to allow God to manifest himself through that music to change people's lives, whether it's through emotional healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, or even salvation. And that to me is the purpose.
Amen. Amen. So obviously this understanding of music and talking about the worship part, which I completely agree with. One of the things too that you know, obviously we talked about knowing God and all that stuff and how that looks. And I guess I'm trying to say it this way. To me, one of the most important aspects of our walk with Christ is that we are constantly declaring who he is. See, I think that's such a big piece of this. And I see a lot of times, for instance, in churches and stuff with sermons and things, we talk a lot about how it helps us, but we very rarely just talk about who God is, you know. And I, in going to that whole worship thing, you talked about those vault of songs. The vault of songs, a lot of it is just declaring who God is. It's about the Amen. Declaration of who he is. And, you know, we have, just so you know, one of the books I've written, we have two whole lessons talking about just who is God, who is Jesus. And we literally list out all these declarations of Jesus. And the declarations come from the book of Revelation chapters 1-5. And I think just being able to speak to that, being able to manifest that, whether it's through song or words, I think is such an important aspect of our worship. And not only doing it in church, but also doing it in our private worship with God, is that we should be declaring his name all the time. And folks, I will tell you guys on the show here, that you guys are listening, our audience, when I pray, every morning when I pray, I declare his name and I declare who he is. Both God and Jesus. I go through those declarations of Jesus, and then I pronounce all the Hebrew names of God. And I think that's such an important aspect of our walk with in our faith, is that as we do that more and more, whether it's through song or through words, is that you're not only worshiping him, but you're placing that in your heart and always telling yourself and always letting those words basically shape your heart, that you're signifying to God that I'm about who you are.
Absolutely. There's life and death in the power of the tongue.
Amen. Amen. So Johnny, just tell us a little bit more about, you know, your ministry and what that looks like and, you know, the things that you do and are involved in as far as, you know, trying to really spread the message of Christ.
Yeah. So I'm blessed to be the host and producer of Refuge Freedom Stories. Not my podcast, but God has me sitting in that chair for a reason, for a season, whatever that season may be. And so what we do is we share stories of people's lives changed by the power of God. And it, as you said yourself earlier, it always amazes me how intimately God reaches into someone's life to change them. And the stories that we've heard, we've interviewed veterans and musicians and people that have lost their children and women that have come out of human trafficking, Major League Baseball manager that won the World Series, guy made $100 million by the time he was 30. Like, it's such a wide range of people, yet God is still their personal savior. And that just amazes me. And I continue to just feel so blessed to be a part of that. So we share that, those stories. It's only a half hour show. We're on radio stations across Canada. And of course, on all the podcast platforms and so on, we're pretty easy to find. And we're also, God also opened a door to us, to a platform in the Middle East. Got an invite to be on this platform called Podio. And they actually have agreements with Saudi Airlines, Etihad Airlines, and even taxi cabs in the UAE for people to listen to podcasts. So now we're over into that particular area of the world. Now, for me, I'm not like I understand metrics and stats and all that kind of stuff, but they're not the focus of the ministry. I look at them to see where the reach is, but I'm not particularly concerned about numbers or growth or anything like that. What my metric is that when I get to heaven, at least one person comes up to me and says, you know what, I heard the podcast that you were interviewing somebody on, and I gave my life to Jesus.
Amen.
And that, to me, is the only metric that matters. And when we keep our eyes focused on Christ, as you said, and on God, and we maintain that relationship that we're nothing without him, we can't do anything without him, because then it would all be in our own efforts. When we realize that he has us in a particular place for a reason, and podcasting being one of those, then that humility allows us to let him orchestrate and flow through everything. I pray with every guest before we start an interview. I pray when I do all the editing, and I pray when I pick the song that goes at the end, because I know that it's God's message coming through each conversation, and I don't want to mess it up by putting my own hands on it type of thing. So I'm very conscious about that. And as far as the other things, the Exchange Life podcast, I co-host that with Dr. Stephen Finney. And it's all about life and life of Christ in us. We exchange our life for his on the cross. And so Christ in us, the hope of glory, the scripture says. So that's what we talk about, all the different aspects of what that really means. And then the Glory to Glory Substack, that's just articles that I write about what I see in my devotions. And I personally believe that if God shows me something in my devotion, that may benefit somebody else. So it's not a regularly published thing. Because I'm not publishing for subscribers or followers or any of that. I'm just trying to publish when God puts something on my heart to publish.
So. Amen. Amen. Well, Johnny, this has been great. Love having you on the show. So if somebody wants to listen to either to your podcast or to some of the other stuff that you may have going on in your ministry, how's a way they can get connected?
Yeah, they can go to any podcast platform and they can listen to Refuge Freedom Stories or The Exchange Life. From Glory to Glory is a Substack article, and you can find it on Substack itself. If you want any more information about how Refuge Freedom started or where it's based from, it's out of a ministry in Canada called Refuge Ministries Canada, which is a first point of contact for young offenders that get out of prison, and they house them and they help them break that cycle for the old ways and give them discipleship training, things like that. if they wanted to get a hold of me, they could email me at refugefreedomstories@gmail.com.
Amen. Well, we'll get all this included in the show notes. And Johnny, this has been, I love this. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, we haven't really had somebody on here in a while with that music piece. And so I always like to try to give our listeners a good variety. And I think you having some of that is really, I think it's really cool. And the way you described worship and the vault of God and the music, I thought that was awesome. So, man, I'm glad you were able to come on the show, and we've, you know, maybe sometime we have you back here in the near future, and
absolutely
we can break down a topic. So anyway,
absolutely.
All right. Well, without further ado, I just want to thank everybody for listening today and being a part of our show. And we love our Kingdom Crossroads community. And again, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. On behalf of myself and Johnny, I'm T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for listening to the show. And now we want to give our shout out this week to Wilmington, Delaware. Wilmington, you've been a big supporter of the Kingdom Crossroads, and we want to thank you for that. And again, we just want to give that shout out. And at some point, we want to come visit you. And right now, as we are still developing this ministry and as things are starting to come together, we are not only looking at these places that we're giving shout outs to, we want to bring the God-centered concept to these areas. And I think that's important to note for all the places that we've given shout outs to, and we'll continue to do so. And this week, we want to recognize again Wilmington, Delaware, and we want to thank you for your support for the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And we want to pray for you and give you and offer you those prayers that you will continue not only to grow the Kingdom Crossroads community in your area, but that the Lord will use you in this area to reach more people for Christ and to make disciples. God bless every one of you. And again, we thank you for your support, and we look forward at some point to seeing you in the future. Thank you, Wilmington.